This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Tolo Tuesday edition of Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Got the entire crew back together again. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Bobby Roberto Bell, and Pepe in the back live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And there are more Whataburger bags than I can count in here. Is this from you, Bob?
Yeah, it's just I ordered 10 of them, and they're bulky. And so they split them up into two bags, and then they put it in a heavy-duty bag to carry. So that's why they're kind of spread out a little
bit. Very nice. Thank you for breakfast, as always. Back from Cabo. With the little mini vacation.
The greatest place in the world.
You know, of the different places in Mexico, this by far, not even close in terms of facilities. Like, normally you land at some of these airports and it feels like an old fuel house where they're just trying to get you through the passport line and there's no order. The airport was super impressive. You fly through that. Landing, immigration, all those things. And then normally, you know, I've always promised my dad because he thinks that El Chapo is waiting around the corner for me.
Well, he is.
Even though I'm married into the Chapos. Don't leave the resort. Don't go outside the walls. And we did a couple of times. And like the town itself is super developed. There's a Costco. There's a this. There's a that. There's McDonald's all over the places. I was more and more impressed by the day with being out there.
When we went to Cabo, we went to this restaurant. I can't remember what it was called. But you could absolutely feel the cartel's presence, which made me feel much safer.
Is that the place you tip for the water?
Yeah. They charge
I'd tip for water here. We still don't have water. So
we still don't have water in the building?
Nope. We're 105.3 The Flint over here.
They charge like $85 for... They charge like $85 for water. Yeah. We kept refilling, and then they just came over and started pouring shots in our mouth, like out of the bottle. And we were like, oh, yeah, they're just happy to see us.
Yeah.
And then there comes the bill. But we didn't argue because it was clearly cartel. But I felt safe in there because no one's messing with the cartel restaurant.
Think we saw Tom Brady's vacay house next to Bezos's vacay house.
Oh.
And you understand why. I was worried about going out there in February and it being too cold with like a high of 70. RJ gave me the UV update, and I don't think it could have been better because it was cool and refreshing, but still hot with the sun, as you'll see on my red face and forehead. But super impressed. I think that's the first place I was like, all right, if we were going to go back to a vacay spot, I would go back.
We got to go back. We went
or a different place there.
Yeah. We went and we stayed at the Ryu up there, down there, over there, whatever. But we wanted to be near the arches. That's where we wanted to be. The office is the restaurant we went to. Awesome place.
Sounds real legit.
I know, right? really, really cool though. But we've gone Cancun a couple times, and I just don't love Cancun. Maybe Tulum I would go to, but Love Cabo.
I think the whales stole the show out there. Whoa. Not the,
it is ladies, the show of whales. Whale season.
Not the ladies on the beach. But
I don't think you needed to clarify.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, we're just sitting out there, and then boom, all of a sudden, not sea lions, not dolphins, as the whales decided to go ahead and put on a show, and that was almost worth it by itself.
Apparently, there's whale season. I didn't know that. I know this is whale season. We missed whale season. We were out there. We missed it by like a couple weeks.
That's in Galveston.
That viral video the other day, that kid had missed it, was whale season. The one, do you see that one? Peyton was talking about it to us the other day. This whale came up, this like humpback whale, and like ate some kid on a kayak and immediately spit him out.
What?
Yeah, he jumped out like his dad was filming as they were out there kayaking, and this humpback whale comes up and like swallows him and spits him back out.
Where was this? The coast of Chile.
Yeah.
Oh,
Chile.
My. I was a scaredy cat out on the boat. I was like, this is the way I'm going to go.
Because did you get in the water on the boat?
Yeah, it was freezing. But I was like, one of these things is going to come up and land right on top of this damn boat. Mm. So I was starting to go up to the top, not out there whale watching with everybody else. But very, very good. I'm trying to think what else I could have possibly missed. And then you land back here. And I'm used to landing back here and getting smacked in the face with the heat. No, it's freezing.
Yeah. At least you landed.
That's true. Unlike, was that Canada?
They landed. Upside down, but they landed.
How? How did the plane land upside down?
There's not enough information. I think there was like a wind shear at the end.
So there's somebody report, like it's all hearsay at this point, but somebody on social media was saying that it was they know what happened, that it was, they skid landed. And there was all this aggressive wind, and then it turned over in the process of after it skidded, and so it turned over and then came to a stop.
They had just gotten like 9 inches of snow. I don't know. Only Canada would have an airport open,
but nobody dying on a plane.
That's amazing.
So I was all that, I thought about was the scene that everyone imagines when you wait for the beep to unbuckle,
and then boom.
Like. Is everyone just ripping out of the seatbelts? How do you get off? Are you backwards crawling?
Well, you're upside.
Like, do you wait in the orderly manner? Yeah. Are you trying to get to the front? That's all I was thinking about was the unseatbelting.
What I'm thinking, like, you're upside down. If you unbuckle, you're dropping on your head.
So there was one girl who was on the plane on Snapchat right when it crashed.
Of course.
Yeah, she she fired up Snapchat, and she's... She looks like a bat in a cave. She's hanging upside down, and she's going, oh, my gosh, my plane just crashed. We're upside down.
Well, I can't turn off. This is amazing content.
I mean, it was amazing content. I watched it a couple times. So
did no one sit there and, like, snap their neck when they try to get out of
their
seat?
No one got hurt somehow. Like, no one got, like, seriously.
Yeah, there were injuries. Just nobody was, like, and nobody died. 80 people, they all survived.
DEI landings. 877.
That was Toronto, sir. Toronto air traffic controllers.
Sorry about that. Yeah. 877-881-1053. The way to hit us up on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. So Eric Chiafalo in Thursday and Friday. We have RJ Choppy funeral recap to get to as well.
Yeah, we talked a little bit yesterday about just kind of previewing before we played it today. And we played the clip yesterday. His sister did seem to threaten him a little bit before he got up there to speak. Because she had said, she was like, some of us in the family knew when to stop and others didn't. You may know the next person when he stands up here to talk.
Whoa.
It's like, uh-oh, that's a threat. But no, it was a beautiful ceremony for Big Ralph. And yeah, Eric's sitting in for a couple days. Eric was leaking confidence a little bit on Thursday. He talked about it. That's his term for it. I'm leaking confidence. That's where he's like, it's just pouring out of him. All of his confidence is leaving his body. Because I think he got a hold of the fan text and he sees negative fan text stuff. And,
how could anyone in the building, I would think Eric Chiafalo would get the least amount of fan text criticism. By far the least.
Yeah, generally, because not only is he he's generally likable. He's also on there usually interacting with everybody and talking back to him and stuff. I think it's just Eric's, the G-bag style is different than the morning show style. And so when it's new and different, you got some people who are just like, I don't like this. But he was, he felt better about Friday, I think. Friday went better.
All right, let's just quickly recap the two big TV events over the past 48, 72 hours. All-Star Game thoughts. I can imagine Bobby shredding it. And I could see the shoulder shrug from Choppy saying, yeah, whatever, it's fine. Anyone think it was an improvement?
No, not a, not necessarily an improvement, because they've tried so many different things. The Elam ending, they've tried the regular game, and now they're doing this. You know, I don't need to see the rising stars in that important of a game.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't seem like, I think you need to have like the best of the best, not Stephon Castle.
Right. That important of a game?
Well, like, if according to the NBA, I mean, it's the All-Star game. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to see the rising stars in the finals.
So I thought from a competition standpoint, playing to 40 helped. There was no doubt more defense until you get to the championship game. Then they decided to quit again. They're like, no, we're just going to remind you, no one's going to make us play hard. But from a competition standpoint, I think the second game was pretty fun. I thought that the rookie class, the rookie team, gave me some dream team practice vibes. I was rooting for them. I was rooting for them to knock, and it was a close game until the end, and I was rooting for them to knock them off. But I do feel like they increased the competition. Where they really screwed up were the breaks, the timeouts, and the stop downs. I could not believe that they started a game, stopped it down to honor the guys from TNT.
We like, aren't going anywhere, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right.
You're eulogizing a show that's not going away.
Yeah. Absolute ruining of momentum. And it felt weird looking at Kyrie Irving and Trae Young over on the bench, and everyone's just got to pretend to love Ernie, Kenny, and Shaq when half the guys probably hate their guts for the criticism. So I think competition-wise, playing harder, check. The flow of the night, the stop downs, the entertainment value, putting it all together, left a lot to be desired, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I come away from every All-Star game weekend, regardless of what it is, the NFL, the MLB, NBA, whenever I come away from it, I just always go, like, just get rid of it. Like, just name teams if you want in the middle of the year as like an all-pro honor type of thing. Like, all right, you named everybody. This is who qualified or this is who got it. But it just there's no way to fix it if they're not going to care. Like there, it was a little more competitive. You're right. There was at the end of one of the games, Wembanyama like clearly looked like pissed off about something. And so, like, I mean, there's clearly some level of competition that took a step up this year. It's just, to me, it was, there's no better summation of NBA All-Star Weekend and how little they care than what like Chris Paul did during the skills competition, where he's just,
well, that was actually caring too much.
Yeah,
was
no,
but that's what, but not caring at all about the fans. Like, it's not about the fans. The weekend is not about the fans. It's not for them.
Yeah,
it's a chance for them to hang out with their NBA brothers and like, all right, this is just a big frat weekend, basically.
Yeah, the issue is also like, the All-Star games are not geared for us. They're geared for 12-year-old kids. That's just the reality. Like, 12-year-old kids get giddy when they see LeBron and Steph and KD on the floor at the same time. Yeah, we used to love it. Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's who it's geared, like that's who it's geared for. Like, it's not, my kids absolutely loved it. They love that they get to see all these guys on the floor at the same time. I think that's just the, like, we all get to that age. We're like, oh, how do we fix the All-Star game? Like, it's not really for us.
Then once again, in the NBA, the more entertaining aspect is off the floor. Is like Barkley and Draymond probably was the most entertaining thing, with Draymond whining and bitching and saying this is trash. I'm surprised they even, like, at least good for the TNT and NBA partnership that they allowed Draymond to go on the air and destroy their product during, like, you don't see that in baseball with someone sitting next to Chris Berman and saying, this sucks, this is terrible. And then Barkley saying, what are you complaining about? Your generation screwed up the whole thing. Draymond crying for the record books not being available to Wemby and Tatum because they could be eliminated in their first game. And Charles, like, you guys have already shown you did not care. So that was probably the most entertaining thing of the entire event, Draymond versus Barkley fighting.
When it comes to the idea of fixing it, though, and like making it better, I did see a suggestion on Reddit over the weekend that I was like, that might work a little bit better. They said if you were to just turn the All-Star game into end of the season, you get the all NBA teams, and then as the opener the year before, as like an exhibition opener to the season, you play an All-Star game with everybody there. And then it's beginning of the year, everybody's healthy, and it's the all NBA team.
They're not gonna care about that either. All NBA versus all NBA before the regular season. They're not gonna play.
It's essentially All Stars, and it would be a kickoff. It'd be like It'd be kicking off the year a little bit more of just like that. That might bring more intrigue to it naturally, just of just, oh, basketball's back. It's the first basketball game of the year.
And then when you're thinking about, you know, Team USA versus the world, Joker reminded me of Luka. Bassick for years has complained that Luka does nothing during the All-Star game. And I think Joker was moping that Luka wasn't there because he's like, we really always usually have fun the night before. And Joker was like awful out there, like horrific. And I was like, maybe the Euros are the problem. Maybe Trump is
right. Oh, my gosh.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a Tolo. All of us back together as we turn it on and leave it on. I love this piece that was done by the New York Times, The Athletic, whatever they are now. The man who took over All-Star Weekend, who really is Nico Harrison, to explain why he did what he did to DFW. Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
One of the things that I sports realized while on vacation for a few days in Mexico is it feels like we have lost an NBA team. Like we've turned into a market that is about to not have basketball coverage.
Yep.
That's what it feels like. As for the Cowboys, like, yeah, you see a couple cowboy hats, and people want to talk about them and bring them up, and I'm just like, I really would like to focus on, you know, the Dallas Mavericks defending their Western Conference championship, but you can't do that because all anyone wants to talk about is Luka. And the realization hit me, like, it's starting to feel like contraction here. That's what it's what it's feel like with the Dodgers deal.
It has. I mean, there is literally, like, the only thing people want to talk about when it comes to basketball is the trade. Why do they make the trade? That's it. Nobody's talking about the games. Nobody's talking about, and I know they're on the break, but nobody's talking about the games. Nobody's talking about the prospects of the rest of the season. They're talking about the ownership, moving to Vegas, or the trade. That's it. It's like there is no game anymore. There's no game. There's no games coming.
Yep.
There's no playoffs. There's no title. And even if there is a title, I'm not sure it even matters.
I mean,
the way they feel today, it will matter in a couple months. But the way they feel today, it doesn't.
I still don't know if it does. People are so mad, and it's been fumbled so much worse. The PR fallout from it at every single turn. Even look at the. It's been what, 2 weeks. And at the All-Star game, all the players were asked about, every single one of them, what about the Luka trade? Well, that was 2 weeks ago. And like
Adam Silver, I think it's the first question you got during the update, the NBA press conference.
Yeah, and when Wembanyama is up there doing better PR for the Mavs than the Mavs themselves, talking about, man, just Mavs fans are really hurting. I know Pascal Siakam got asked a question just about what rule change would you like to see? And he turned around to go like, I'm not trying to upset anybody. They traded Luka. I'm not going to get anybody angry right now.
Did the New York Times and Athletic merge? Are they the same thing?
New York Times bought the Athletic. So if you see a sports article from the New York Times, that's usually the Athletic.
All right. Well, Bobby found this. I thought it was a tremendous profile piece. And it's a major, major question that needs to be investigated. Who is Nico Harrison and what actually makes him tick?
Yeah. And this one was very, I would say that, I don't know about you. When I read this, I thought this was generally a puff piece attempt almost. It was really good, but I felt like it was definitely trying to like, hey, let's humanize Nico a little bit because he's under a lot of fire right now.
I thought it was pretty fair. They're going to get some comments from people that were close with him at Nike to explain his thinking. And if you totally explain his thinking, you do have to look. Oh, you don't have to do anything, and you're not going to. But what I said, like, the day after the trade is, the man has balls. Well, he's got conviction, and he's got guts. And I think that was the extent of the praise that I took out of the piece.
Well, and one of the things that you will see here, one of the things that's covered in the article, is the idea of we all were like, what a rash decision. What a quick trigger and just reckless. And when they were talking to all these different people who had worked with Nico Harrison at Nike or who, you know, coached him in college or all these different things, the overwhelming sentiment from them was Nico doesn't have an impulsive bone in his body.
Yeah.
That's not Nico. Nico is not going to make an impulsive decision. He's going to
There's coffee involved.
How many
red shots or what do they call it?
Give him an espresso shot inside his Americano.
Yeah.
An extra one, and all of a sudden, oh man, let's do this.
He's going to be
Rob Palega spiked his decaf.
He's going to be overly thoughtful almost, is what this made it sound like. That he's going to be
measured, calculated. And calm, rational,
and some
not
of things,
rational, but
no, yeah, there's not that. One of the things that they talk about here with him is that he's so big on discipline and being regimented, and how much he got from being around Kobe Bryant as long as he was.
Yeah,
and that essentially that he had soured on Luka because of that sort of expectation that he had gotten from watching Kobe Bryant work. That it's like, why can't Luka do that? Why can't Luka be driven like that? Why can't he do those things? He's also very regimented and disciplined himself. So he very much cares about like...
Wait till your eyes are going to fall out of your head when you hear how he starts conversations.
Yeah, let's jump to that part first. It says, Harrison worked alongside Kobe Bryant for years, witnessing the Mamba mentality firsthand. But he's not merely plagiarizing one of the greatest ever. This is also Harrison's character. Danny Sprinkle, a college teammate of Harrison, said he's that disciplined and detailed. Harrison is a notorious nutrition devotee and will occasionally begin conversations by quizzing friends on their health habits. What did you eat today is one of his go-to greetings to people.
If I had a friend who started, had being the key word, our conversations with, what'd you eat today? checking up on you like a dietitian. Mm-hmm. I would backhand the hell out of that person. Get the hell out of my face.
Yeah, like Larry North is just walking
Larry
up on
North,
you.
Larry North, that's the go-to, yeah, huh?
That's the one that popped
into my head. I think Tony Little. Not Tony sure. Little, Larry North.
Okay. Whoever, it's a generational thing. But they talk about his dad who worked
Someone comes up to you, you know, and kind of like grabs like your side hip, you know, measuring your body fat with their hands.
Really pinch you.
You got that friend, you know.
So they talk about in this article about how Nico Harrison got his work ethic also from his parents, his dad who worked in an aluminum plant for 30 years. They said he missed one day of work his entire life and how that really set Nico's work ethic up. Nico is super, forthright and honest, except when somebody's told him, keep this close to the vest, show me your loyalty. He was in college. He needed to get on scholarship to play basketball. He told his coach, can I please get a scholarship? It's going to cost us a lot of money. And his coach said, yep, but you got to sit on it for like 2 weeks because we can't officially announce it yet. And so Nico kept it so quiet that his mom had to call the coach and go, is he going to be on scholarship next year or not? Because we got to know what we're planning on. Because Nico told his coach, I won't tell anyone. So he didn't tell anyone, including his mom. But so it lays out all these different things that clearly show how regimented and I'll say this, rigid. I think the biggest takeaway I had from this is he's rigid. And it's black and white. There is no gray with Nico Harrison, it doesn't seem like. And
my big takeaway in the whole thing is he's overboard with expectation.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to compare everyone to Kobe Bryant's work ethic, you're going to be severely disappointed. It's like that person, we had Will Chambers sitting in crosstalk a long time ago. And I said, why aren't you in a relationship? And he's like, my expectations are unfair. They're too high. That's to me what Nico Harrison's problem is going to be. Kobe Bryant is supposed to be like a top three worker in the history of the NBA. A maniacal psychopath. You're probably not going to get that in your players and in your superstar. And the follow-up, if you are looking for it and you're like hell-bent on saying, that's what I need, I have to find it, you don't get it in Anthony Davis. It sounds like Anthony Davis is a better leader and character person than I ever knew about him. But he's hurt. And he's hurt all the time. And just because he's hurt does not mean he does not work hard. But Kobe Bryant was reliable. Kobe Bryant shooting free throws with the busted Achilles. And Anthony Davis is not reliable. So you want to be unfair part one, that's probably going to be a mistake. But you want Anthony Davis to be the idea and the foundation of your Kobe Bryant-esque leader? What are you doing?
I can't remember who said that. I was somebody from NBA radio said, it may have been Eddie Johnson. I don't want to attribute it to somebody who didn't say it. But the leader of the league sets the tone for the league. When it was Jordan's league, super crazy worker, everybody followed suit. If the leader of the league is the most physical player in the league, everybody else in the league becomes more physical. And it's been LeBron's league for 20 years. So what have we seen? He doesn't care about the All-Star game. Neither does anybody else. He works hard. His body's in great shape, but takes a lot of games off. So does everybody else. That whole trend kind of trickles down. And, you know, it's almost as if every player is now like being judged from an era that doesn't exist anymore, being judged in this era, and Nico is in a different era. Like he's looking at the league as how it used to be or how it should be, and not how the league actually is.
To be fair, Luka, just to be completely fair, and I didn't want to get rid of Luka. Luka doesn't even meet the normal standard for most stars of his conditioning or anything else. So yeah. I mean that
the standards of a European player.
No. Jokic had to turn it up. Jokic had to change.
Giannis
had to change.
Jokic went on a bender for a summer.
After they won, yes he did. But you're talking about like people talked about how rigid his work ethic became before
Jokic
he won a title.
Jokic made a conditioning leap that Luka never has. I mean, he clearly did. He lost. I mean, it looks like he lost 30 pounds.
I have to go back and check the timeline of like age. You know, like did Joker make it at 24?
Yeah. Well, no, just say like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. That's when it felt
sure,
like.
Sure. Yeah. And look, there's nothing, again, I didn't want to get rid of Luka. I'm just saying
Joker's
that,
29.
So it's 20. So
just say, call it 27. 28.
I mean, at least give them to then.
26.
Even by today's standards, though, of even if those are lower than what past generations were, it's still, Luka hasn't met that even. So I will say that. But like you point out, Anthony Davis is already hurt. And this article talks about that concern built up specifically with Nico Harrison that Doncic's body was going to break down sooner than people thought. It's like, okay, then why did you go get the guy who is the poster child for his body breaking down?
Yes.
But this was the interesting part of this. There were a couple different things out of this.
You can save part two.
Yeah, there's some quotes from Bob Vilgaris, different things like that. But one of the things that was interesting was they point out that Nico Harrison had pretty much become hell-bent on he was going. Luka was not staying here.
The first thing I copy and pasted to note was the Mavericks were never going to offer Luka that mega deal.
Yeah.
League sources said they were never going to offer it. They were more scared. In one of the original Windhorse reports, it said they were more scared of him accepting it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Like, they were terrified of Luka accepting the deal than offering it.
And that makes sense when you read this piece and you see how regimented Nico is and how tidy Nico is.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, are you projecting an unrealistic standard that you hold for yourself or that you held for your most famous client, Kobe Bryant? Are you now plastering that on your basketball team and you just made what you think is measured decision, but it's actually reckless because of the standard that you're holding up? That's not realistic to give to Luka or really anybody else. If your standard is, do you work like Kobe Bryant? They need to trade the entire Mavericks roster.
Yeah.
Everybody has to go because nobody works like Kobe.
Yep.
There's two players in the history of the NBA that work like Kobe. And so to me, it's.
And he also kind of, you know, dismisses the negative Kobe traits, it seems like.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant as a teammate, like, the Laker bus didn't talk to Kobe. Now, this was early on, but this is what you keep talking about. Nico should have looked at that maturation and growth that took place with maybe Kobe the teammate, but there's a ton of Kobe Bryant. After Kobe passed away, I always mention it on radio. It's so funny how everyone just loves Kobe. Kobe Bryant, one of the most hated players in the National Basketball Association outside of Los Angeles when he was playing.
Yeah.
Selfish.
Sure.
Hijacked that Suns game where he's like, fine, you think I shoot too much? I'm not going to shoot. Is that the character that Nico Harrison is obsessed and in love with?
Sounds like me.
There's trade-offs.
It sounds a lot like you. My gosh, I can absolutely see you.
Fine, I won't shoot the ball at all.
Holy cow.
Yes, not going to attack. All right, so there's a little profile piece. We'll do part two at 8 o'clock. We have a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway for you being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On during the 720 Expressway, but I'm so pleased that Choppy decided to save this for when I came back. A lot of trepidation, a lot of worry over the RJ Choppy funeral speech for his father. Bobby was there and recorded it. Let's take you through the awkwardness next. Let's hook you up with Dierks Bentley tickets today and throughout the entire week. That'll be later on here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Thank you for checking us out. And hopefully you had a lovely extended weekend. And this is part of the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. RJ Choppy with the much anticipated speech for his father's funeral. When was this?
This was Thursday afternoon. We had it at, it sounded like at White's Chapel Church. My mom sings in their choir.
Wow.
Yeah, she sings in their choir. So
one of the honestly most beautiful churches in Dallas. Architecture and everything, it is beautiful.
Yeah, it's huge. It's really nice. I don't know why she goes there. She's not whatever denomination that is, but
Methodist.
She's not?
She's Catholic. we're Catholic fans.
What a perfect choppyism.
Yeah.
But, I'm going to your church. I'm not a believer in the denomination. I'm just going to do the opposite. Yeah.
She got into it with the Catholic Church. A long time ago, so that was kind of the issue with that.
Got into it.
Yeah, they wouldn't acknowledge her marriage to my dad because he had been previously divorced.
Yeah, he's paying that hussy in Jersey.
Yeah, that's right. but he had been divorced like 50 years ago, and they've been married for like 40-something years. They said, well, you got to get to 50, and then we'll approve it. And she goes, it's been like 40 years. Like, I'm done. She's like, I'm out.
What was your interaction like with Mrs. Choppy? Did you get to speak with her or meet her?
No, I mean, I've met her before. I met her at Luka's baseball game. I didn't see her at the funeral. I got there. So first off, it was not clear where I was supposed to walk in. So I parked and I ended up walking around the entire building for a little bit. You told me where to go, but I had to find somebody to tell me where is this park because the campus is huge. And so somebody had to like direct me in. So when I got in there, they were in the middle of doing like a song. So I missed the first like minute or two. And so everybody was already seated. So I sat down in the back and then walking out because I was in the back, I was the last one allowed to file out. And so I was in the longest part of the line. I was like, I got to go pick the kids up from school. So I had to like cut out and just said hi to Sarah and RJ and ran off.
So the first thing I'm really interested in knowing is attire. How did you and everyone else dress as your mom was not approving the look you were going for?
Yeah, so I wore a suit, black suit.
Where'd you get it? Did you find it?
I found it.
The smelly one?
No. They're both smelly. The blue one is the one that's always had a weird funky odor to it. The black one I've worn one time, and Sarah found it.
Wow.
And I wore that. I wore my cowboy hat on top. Regular shoes, not boots, regular shoes.
And how did your mom, was she okay with it?
Not really.
She didn't like the hat.
She was like, I guess it looked, you know, fine.
Only but, cowboy hat in the congregation.
Oh yeah. Only hat, period. So yeah, my mom was, they were all dressed up. Everyone was dressed up.
I had a polo on.
The star of the dress up was my youngest, Julian. I didn't get a photo because I didn't have my phone on me. He walks in and he had walked in late because he had forgot. He still has Birkenstocks on and he didn't put his dress shoes on. He walked in and the way his suit was, a little bit baggy, the tie undone. He looked like a down on his luck businessman that was leaving happy hour after he just got fired.
Looked like he was starring in Swingers.
It was amazing. I was like, this kid, this is my mini me. Hair all disheveled, looked fantastic. I was like, please, I need to go get the security cam footage in this church.
He commands the room.
Julian?
I was standing in line. I watched him just darting in and out, talking to people like, hey, what's up? Like, I mean, he's just like Mr. like walk up and commanding presence.
Wow.
So, you know, we're sitting there in the waiting room and they're giving instructions on what's going on. And I'm not listening to the whole thing. And finally I said to her, can you repeat all this again? I wasn't listening. I was like, just point to me. Just tell me when to go.
Yeah.
So the way it was, we walk in and you walk through and you see all these people lined up. And that's the first time I'd seen how many people were there. My dad had no friends. He hated people. He hated everyone. One of the lines that I cut out of the speech was that my dad probably hated every single one of you in this room.
Your mom got up there and said that he had always said you could hold his funeral in a phone booth because there would be so few people there.
So I walk in and I see people that like, how did you find out about this? We didn't like announce this.
How many people were there?
Oh, I don't know. 150, 200, something like that.
Yeah.
Man, I always worry about that with like my dad or something. I'm like, are people going to show up? I mean, you know, like all his patients are probably dead.
That's an insecurity most people have that I think they naturally undersell how many people.
Yeah, the good news of dying young, though, is you got a lot of people that are still alive that you know. If you die at 98, you might have a two-person funeral.
Well, that's why the good part about you delaying it like almost a month gave everyone time.
Gave everyone time to go.
You know?
Yeah, gave everyone time to go. And so we walk in and, you know, we take our seats. You never want to be in the front row of a funeral.
Well, you have to be in the family.
I know, but that's why, right? You never want to be in the front row because that means it's somebody very, very close to you.
Right.
So we were there and then they give a little speech, you know, the minister, pastor, whatever. And then they call up for the speeches.
Yep. And it was his sister first who threatened him. And then RJ got up there and just adjusted the mic. People were laughing. I felt an uncomfortable laugh from the audience because they were like, this might not go well.
So the mic was like up high. My sister and my mom, they're 5 feet flat. So they had to like turn the mic down. And I get up there and I go and I just kind of do situational comedy, just slowly creak the mic back up.
And then he launched into it.
The trick to getting through this is not looking at your mom before. My mom told me I had 3 minutes to give this speech. I'm going to take 6 and ask for forgiveness later. Most people in the front are not going to like it. One person who is, and he is loving the day, is my dad, Big Ralph, as I called him. He preferred I called him Dad, but he's loving every minute of this. He was born into a world where people would just randomly go over to somebody else's house unannounced, and he left a world where we would hide when the doorbell rings. It's a completely different world. But I had to thank him for bestowing on me some incredible genetic traits, like height. Every young man dreams of being less than 6 feet tall and bald. The ladies love it. It's irresistible. He had a tremendous way with words, although none of those were more than about four letters. He didn't care who was around. 1986, during a T-ball game, making out at second base, the umpire blows the call. It was a T-ball game. He comes running on the field to argue the call, and I can't repeat what was said in a church, but I hope the umpire didn't go home and do what my dad told him to do. This is the man who wanted to fire the manager of the New York Yankees in the fifth inning of every game. The most impressive feat was they didn't have a heart attack watching baseball at some point. He would never miss a game, though, ever. We had a 13-inch TV in the kitchen with those antenna ear things. And when nature called, he would take that TV into the bathroom. Out of nowhere, you'd hear a random, "Yes, sir!" I don't know what he was cheering for. I hope it was the baseball. He loved Maury Povich. He would go around the house yelling, "You are the father!" Just out of nowhere. No matter when you came over, chances are he was watching either Maury or his favorite movie, The Congo, about a talking gorilla. Really strange movie. He hated New Jersey. That's where he lived for about 12 years. Every year he tried to move. I kept talking him out of it. I don't want to leave my friends. He hated the traffic. He hated the weather. He hated the people. He hated the taxes. He hated literally everything about it. He evidently hated both of my sisters, too, because he moved them out of state in the middle of high school. Both of them. Every young girl dreams of being completely friendless at 15. Therapists love it, too. His favorite pastime wasn't baseball or golf. It was report card day, especially myself and my older sister, because he would make us cry. And for some reason, she knew report card day was coming. She still put that mascara on and kept dripping down the side of his face. He never really spanked me much, a couple times. One time I told him it didn't hurt. That was a mistake. I was the golden boy, or I thought I was the golden boy, until one day a couple years ago, I realized that his real golden boy was music. Dementia. Dementia really set in.
All right, hang on, stop. Okay.
Yeah.
What did that start with?
A G?
That was GD it in the middle of a church.
Was that written in there?
Nope. I was getting choked up. Okay. I had made it through.
This
I would
is a
say,
tremendous
oh,
start.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, he's knocking it out.
I had made it through like 80% of the speech completely fine. And then I got to that one part where I started talking about like the dementia and the afterlife. And like it was coming near the end.
Yeah.
And I started to feel myself. And I was like,
oh,
don't.
Not today, Satan. Stiff up. This isn't report card day. Yeah. Do not cry.
Did the crowd gasp here? Let's listen.
A little bit.
Let's listen for the possible gasp.
I realized that his real golden boy was music. Dementia. Dementia really set in. We're driving to the park to throw the baseball with my two kids and him. The song comes on the radio. And at this point, he no longer knew my name. And he had no idea why we had these two kids in the car. We didn't even know who they were. But he knew every word to the song Sundown by Gordon Lightfoot. Go figure. No idea why that song in particular, but he did. He loved coaching. He loved golf. But he hated slow golf, and he hated slow golfers. And he hated women golfers, too. He called them
What was the last part?
He said he hated women golfers too. That didn't go over great, especially with the female minister that was doing the service.
And he hated women golfers too. We called up on the first team, and there's a group of women in front of us. That energy was sucked out of him. He would have hated everything about me today. He hated beards, he hated hats, he hated that my shirt's not starched, that my pants are too low, that my pants are too short. And I believe this is a full Windsor knot. He was a half Windsor guy. I'm getting a call from Arkansas. Hang on.
Stop. Was your cell phone getting a call?
Yeah, because I was reading the speech on my phone.
Reading it.
Oh.
Yeah. And a call popped up.
And a call popped up. And it said, like, Waynesville, Arkansas or something.
He was a full Windsor knot. He was a half Windsor guy. I'm getting a call from Arkansas. Hang on. I want to end this, though, with a confession. Senior prom, 1997. No, don't worry. He let me drive his car. I backed into one of those light post things in the parking lot. I never told him. The next day, I knew he was going on a business trip and he was going to go to the airport. Everything was going according to plan. When he got home, just as I had planned, he finally noticed it. I said, dang, someone dinged your car at the airport. I was a really good liar. I think he bought it. But on the bright side, he would have forgotten about it anyway. Jeez. So will I.
Wait, so that ended?
That was it. That was it.
Okay, what was the final line there?
He said
he would have forgotten about it anyway.
He said, I think he bought it, but he would have forgotten about it anyway. And that was the only time you got audible.
Yeah, I got booed.
Was it a groan or like, oh, that's so sad.
I was a really good liar. I think he bought it, but on the bright side, he would have forgotten about it anyway.
I think it's half and half.
I think it's half. The faces said grow.
Hey, comedic greatness. Well done.
It was great.
The timing, all of it. Very well done, RJ Choppy. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby back together again. Do the Rangers need to be worried about this move in the AL West? And the bullying never happened that we've been talking about a decade? Everything else you need to know to get your Tolo Tuesday started next.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.